Next on BYUSN, is more conference expansion on the way? Ah, the topic that will not go away. We'll break down the latest reports about which teams Brett Yormark and the Big 12 may be targeting next. Speaking of the commish, our interview with Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark from Big 12 Media Days that dives into the future of the conference.
BYU defensive end Tyler Batty joins us on the Cougars being picked 13th and how he feels to have the rivalry game back in the same conference. Plus, BYU football's team rating for the new college football video game is all the rage. Is it too high, too low, or just right? What are you talking about, Boring?
Hey, that was coming back to Goldilocks, doesn't it? Welcome in. This is BYU Sports Nation presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today is Monday, July 15th. My name is Jason Shepherd. This is a man still looking for the digital version of AFR to come out along with EA Sports College Football.
And the digital version of some royalties, absolutely. So whenever these videos sneak out, we're like, hey, are we in that or not? Let's show you what popped up over the weekend.
This is pretty cool.
As this is what the BYU entrance will look like in the new college football game. Now next week, or next month rather, it'll all be happening for real at Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Wait a minute, this isn't real?
This is not real. This is all handcrafted, but it looks real. That's the beauty of this football game and why people are so excited about it. So when you get it, that's what you'll see coming out.
I like the fact that it's the all-royal helmets. That's just such a sharp look to me. I love that look. Are you a gamer? Like, do you get into that? Like, are you going to be purchasing? Are you going to be purchasing it for someone? Like, any of your kids asked you for it?
No, they're not into that. They're into games, but they're not into that. Yeah. But it's fun to see the excitement of it all. And back in the day, you know, that was the game of all games.
Oh, yeah.
And so now that it's back and legal, and people can benefit from it, more power to it. But it's interesting to see how they present BYU. And that's for a day game. Now you can go and, of course, adjust the settings and they'll come out in a night game. Maybe they'll have the fireworks and all that. But I like reality. And so August 31st, when they come out, that's the one that'll be so exciting after this long wait.
Yeah, this just sort of tides people over with the video game version until the real thing hits the field.
It's coming.
You know, just a month and a half.
Your Chiefs report to camp this week?
I will be there coming up a week from today, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
I'm gonna go to Chiefs training camp next Monday and Tuesday.
I'll be there. Reed.
If anybody wants, Colton, if you want me to do like a live hit from Chiefs training camp, I'm available.
Yeah, so get Mahomes and then
there we go. All right, all rise and shout. It's time for what's trending.
I'm really excited. I often say this, there's never been a better time to be involved with the Big 12 than right now. There's incredible momentum, lots of energy. Our narrative has changed and our future is very exciting. It's a time that really our fans should enjoy.
It's always interesting, especially with what we're dealing with now, that just when you think things may have hit a bit of a lull in terms of everything settling down, even if it's just rumors, which is what's out there now, it just never seems completely settled. And I'm talking about college and realignment and conferences and teams moving. And so we start with this, and this started to come out while we were at Big 12 Media Days in Las Vegas last week. In fact, this interview that we're going to reference actually took place in Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. And it was Yahoo Sports' Ross Dellinger who talked to a friend of the program, John Kurtz, who does a podcast. He covers K-State. And they were talking about the Big 12 and the possibility of potential targets in the future for expansion. And Kurtz asked Dellinger if adding ACC powers, Clemson and Florida State could be a part of the Big 12's realistic future. Here is a part of Dellinger's response.
I think there is at least early conversation between the Big 12 and those schools about the possibility. I don't know that it's anything serious yet because they do have to get out of the ACC, whether that's through a settlement or a court ruling. So we could be months, if not years, away from something. But that does seem to be one of the possibilities is the Big 12.
And I think it's important to make sure that we mention that Dellinger, I don't want to say he's walked it back, but he's clarified the statement since making those and since they went out on social media saying, look, the first words he said is, I think. it was not on reporting, it was I think, and he said his answer was more speculation than reporting at this time. However, yesterday, this was posted by Arizona beat reporter Jason Scheer, who we've had on this program before, who broke a lot of the four corner schools to the Big 12 news last summer. And he said, according to sources, there is an internal belief in the Big 12 that Florida State and Clemson are likely to join the conference within the next year or so. So, Dave, with all of this, and we know that the ACC right now and some of their schools, they're in legal battles right now. Clemson and Florida State, part of that. They've got lawsuits out there. With all of this information in mind, what would you like the move for the Big 12 if they added those two schools?
Sure. Everyone would. Be crazy not to take those two. And those two reporters have a little street cred. And that's why it went on Twitter over the weekend, even if it's just joking. Now it's all over the place. And the ACC meetings, I believe, start today. They can deal with this all week as to what these two are going to do. They're unhappy with what they've got. They don't believe the future is in the ACC. They'd really like to be in the Big Ten or the SEC. The third option is the third viable P4, I guess we'd call it, almost a P3, would be the Big 12. If they go to the Big 12, they'll just be the three. And then we'll have some reshaping there. If the Big 12 can't get those two, don't get anybody. 18's already a lot.
Yeah.
Or 16, right? 16's a lot.
16 for the Big 12 right now.
But if you add those two, you get to 18. If you don't, you got 16 people to share the pot. That's a lot to share the money with. There's Miami and Virginia Tech, but... If you get the two top dogs, then you adjust your life. Yeah. If you don't, you plow forward and go, hey, we're going to hold this group together, and that group's going to fall apart eventually.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that already think that at 16 teams, because of some of the scheduling quirks, that 16 is already big. And so the thought of adding two more would certainly magnify some of those concerns about scheduling and how many times you get to face the team and that kind of stuff. But to go off of what you were talking about, the Big 12 and the ACC are fighting for that third spot behind the Big 10 and the SEC. And if you have an opportunity to take a couple of programs like Florida State and Clemson away, that can strengthen you, and to your point, then firmly put you in that third spot, which I believe a lot of people, and I know Commissioner Yormark believes that the Big 12 is already there. But if you can solidify that as the third power league behind the SEC and the Big 10, then I think you do it. The other question about this is, though, we're just all talking about this as if the ACC is going to let these two teams go and then just sit on their hands. Well, then they're going to make moves. And what do those moves look like? Do they go the G5 route and they pull some of these teams that aren't in a power league right now, pull them up? Do they go after any current Big 12 teams? Obviously, you have a couple Pac-12 teams that are in the ACC now. Yeah. Do you go after a couple more? I don't know what the buyout situation is for some of these teams. I don't know if that would even be appealing for teams in the Big 12 to go to the
ACC. If you're in the Big 12 and you add those two, no one leaves. We'd be crazy.
I would agree with you, but you know that the ACC is not going to just sit still. They've got to have some sort of a plan B, and I'd be curious to know what that plan B would look like if two teams moved to the Big 12.
This just makes the Big 12 the Death Star. It's already destroyed the Pac-12. Now it's coming over here. It's zoomed into the solar system, and it's got a beeline for the ACC. The Big Ten and the SEC don't want to be the Death Stars.
Right.
They took a lot of heat for taking USC, which triggered so much of everything. And I think they'd like to see somebody else do all that. Yeah, you be the guy. Yeah. You be the bad guy. And if the Big 12 plucks those two out, they're the bad guys. But you know what? It's survival of the fittest in sports. There's no fairness. It's not about fairness. It's about a money grab and surviving. And that's been Brett Yormark's mantra since he came in. I'm an entertainment guy. I'm a big picture guy. We're going to solidify and expand, and we're still open for business, which is what he said.
Well, and look, if you add two more and you get up to the 18-team situation, you know, you are somewhat padding your stats a little bit to play against the possibility that maybe down the road somebody does leave. If you like the idea of 16... If you go to 18 and let's say you lose two, then you're back. It just sort of gives you an idea or gives you a way to sort of keep what you like even if you lose a couple of teams along the way. And something that we haven't even talked about yet is the distribution. From a financial standpoint, you bring two teams in, but you bring teams in as long as it's going to make money for everybody else and not take it away. Yeah. So that's stuff that probably has to be discussed as
They're like a mini federal government. It's like, we'll just print more. Yeah. You know, we need some money. Let's just print some more. Let's just keep paying everybody. And we don't even need to explain how we got it and where it's coming from and if it's going to keep coming. Let's just send them.
Yeah.
Let's send them some checks. And that has changed everything. And for BYU, what does it mean for BYU? Well, it's not great if you add Florida State and Clemson to your football schedule, because it's already tough.
Yeah.
It's great if you're looking for stability and for a program that was independent for a dozen years. The fact that this conversation can happen and it involves you as opposed to you're outside looking in, I think that's why BYU fans welcome all of it, because we're safe. We're in.
Yeah.
And so we can lobby ideas around as opposed to, hey, what about us? Don't leave us. And so you throw those two teams in there, you make the league better for sure. You don't make getting to the postseason any easier for the other 16 teams. And everyone wants to be in that group of 12, right, to play for for all the marbles. This makes it harder for that. So then you actually look back and you go, okay, 16 members, do you want it to be harder?
Yeah.
The fans say, sure, why not? The teams, maybe not. Maybe they're like, you know what? I've got a tough enough schedule as it is. We just want to get to the playoff because that's where the real pay. What are they getting in the playoff? More money.
Right.
That's where the payoff is,
well,
in the playoff.
Yeah, in terms of how it's beneficial for BYU, I agree with you. Specifically BYU, I don't know if you can narrow it down to specific teams, but in terms of solidifying the conference and making the conference stronger, that's how it benefits BYU, is that you're in a conference that is on solid footing. And so that's where the teams that – what this really does, if you think about it, probably could have gone to the division route with 16. And I know that there are a couple of coaches that talked – you know, we probably should have gone to divisions. We didn't yet. If you go to 18, you almost have to go into two divisions at least.
Sure.
And so, you know, that could be beneficial. The teams that love this, especially for travel, if you're going to do some more regional things in terms of scheduling, UCF's got to love this. West Virginia's got to love that. Yeah. Cincinnati has got to love that, because then you have a few more teams in your conference that you could sort of be like with what BYU and Utah and Arizona State are, where you have this regionality. In, so it's cutting down on some of that travel. That would certainly help on the East Coast of the conference.
Yeah, and it gives BYU and the Big 12 some sex appeal if Florida State and Clemson are back. Florida State more than Clemson. Mm-hmm. They're on the rise, and Clemson's trending down. It used to be just the opposite,
right,
you know, for the last little bit. But Florida State gives you this national thing. You lost Texas and Oklahoma. There is no Texas and Oklahoma in this Big 12, not even close. But you get these two and you add some of what you lost. But even if the ACC stays together and they keep those teams, the Big 12's in solid footing.
Correct.
You know, they're not crumbling and fear of crumbling. There's one, no one saying we're going to leave. It's a matter of, do we add it? Do we build onto the house? We could. Or is the house just fine? As opposed to the ACC going, we're losing the house.
Yeah.
We got to keep these guys. And so it's a whole different set of conversations.
Well, and then,
that's why Yormark's so confident.
Yes.
It's like, well, I've got my house in order. I just might expand it.
And look, we've seen this with the Big 12 at one time, and they have turned the tides and strengthened themselves up. We saw it with the Pac-12. When you look vulnerable, that's when other people look to pounce. And so that's why I say the ACC, with all the lawsuits that they're dealing with right now with Clemson and Florida State, they obviously have to have a plan B when they look down the road and see how this could play out. Because the last thing they want to do is to have two teams leave, look even more vulnerable, and then have other conferences, whether it's Big Ten or the SEC, start coming after other teams to weaken them even more.
They should look to the Pac-12 and see how to not do it.
Right. Yeah.
There's the blueprint
yeah.
of becoming irrelevant.
Correct.
And so there's plenty of examples. There's expanding examples and contracting examples.
That's right. All right, let's get to our question of the day, and it is this. If the Big 12 is able to add Clemson and Florida State, How would that be beneficial for BYU? Join in on X, Facebook, or Instagram. The first comment coming in on X from at Russ Melrose says, pretty simple. Anything that makes the conference stronger makes BYU stronger. And that's kind of what we both said. As long as you can keep the Big 12 conference on solid footing, that's good for all member institutions.
Yeah. And what's even better is to win.
Yeah.
And so every team, all 16, BYU right at the top of the list, go out and win this fall, and every time you do that, you feel better about your solidification.
That's right.
Right? I don't know how Vanderbilt feels every year being last place in the SEC. They must have all their buddies going, hey, it's okay, we promise we'll never leave you.
It's like, just don't worry, this isn't soccer, we're not relegating you.
We all need a win, so that's why you're here.
Yeah.
But if you're BYU and some of those teams, it's like, get out and win and make your case.
Yeah.
And let the conference make its case at the same time.
Yep, I agree 100%. Again, weigh in using hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Hey, if you missed any of our Big 12 Media Days interviews, and there were a lot of them with players and coaches across the conference, you can find them on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube page. They're just waiting for you. How many interviews did you do down there?
Oh, my gosh. I had at least 40, probably. Total, we did easily over 50.
And how many good ones?
All of them. Excellent.
Then they're all in the YouTube page.
Including the one that you will hear next, Commissioner Brett Yormark from Big 12 Media Days on what he sees for the future of the conference. This is BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play alongside Dave McCann. My name is Jason Shepherd. And as we discussed in What's Trending, the Big 12 remains open for business. Britt Yormark now enters year 3 as the commissioner of the Big 12, and he believes that the conference is just getting started. Here is Spencer and my conversation with Britt Yormark from Big 12 Football Media Days in Vegas.
We now welcome in the commissioner of the Big 12 Conference. He is Brett Yormark, and you always have an open chair on BYU Sports
Nation. Well, thank you, and I'm thrilled to be here, and thanks for having me on.
Hey, this is such a fun event, and to do it in Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. And, I mean, you set the tone when you said, I believe that we're on pace to become the greatest conference in America. And just wanted to follow up and start the conversation there. What is it that makes you feel so confidently that the Big 12 is moving to the forefront of the conferences in major college sports?
Well, I'm going to take a step back. You know, when I took this job in August of 22, there's a lot of naysayers. A lot of people said to me, Brett, what are you doing? Where are you going? You know, that it has two places it could go, backwards or maybe forward. Most people thought it was going to go backwards. And now, fast forward 23 months into the job, we look very different. And, you know, greatness is a process. You know, I worked for Jay-Z, and that was one of his lines. I stole it from him. And I want us to be great. And it's a process. But we've had some nice wins along the way over the last 23 months. And, you know, we're 16 strong now. We're in 10 states, 90 million people in our footprint, 4 time zones, got big brands. And I think our best days are ahead of us for sure. You know, we've grown 60% since I've been here, if you think about it in those terms.
And, 16.
You know, and you know, from where I sit, we're not near our potential yet. You know, people ask me, Brett, what are you prioritizing? I prioritize a lot, but I do want to prioritize making sure that we're the best version of ourselves, that we integrate all the new schools. There is a period of adjustment, as we all know. But I'm really bullish on where we're going. I work with great ADs. I work with a great board. They're affording me an opportunity to be me. And me is what unfolded yesterday on the stage as I talk a little bit about where we've been and where we're going. And I'm extremely excited. And I, as I said, I think we're firmly in the top 3 conferences in America. And someone asked me, what do you aspire to be? I said, aspire to be number one. Why would I take a job and not aspire to be number one? So we're going to keep working.
The word that continues to come to mind when I think of your tenure so far is the word innovation. How much is that word on your mind when you think of this conference every day?
Well, listen, I think when I got here, we were a little sleepy. And I realized in some respects, and I'm going to have some do some business speak here, we were an underperforming asset.
Sure.
And we had a lot of upside. It's like buying a stock when it's low. And I figured that kind of I was in that situation. And I think we have an opportunity to do something really great here. And I'm very bullish about it. And I have a lot of energy for it. I'm very passionate about what I do and the people I work with. So I truly believe our future is bright. We've got these great brands that are investing. They see it. They see the potential no different than I do. Our presidents see it. We're like-minded. Great culture fit amongst all the schools that have joined. So why wouldn't I be bullish? And I often ask people that.
Brett Yormark is on BYU Sports Nation. We know that Tom Holmo, the athletic director at BYU, has great respect for you. And you've been open that you have a very open conversation with him about like gauging how things are at BYU and in the western part of the conference and whatnot. What is it that is appealing as you reach out to Tom, to him, for just kind of that general feel and that idea of how things are going out here?
You know, Tom brings so much history. You know, from, you know, collegiate athletics. He's been on the professional side, too. He brings a really wonderful perspective. And I'm relatively new still to the space. So having a sounding board where I can go to ADs and pick their brain and get their perspective on certain things is very comforting for me. And then Tom and I hit it off, and I respect him, you know, enormously. And he's always going to give me it straight, you know, whether he likes what I'm doing or not, or if he doesn't like it. And I don't want people just to agree with me for the sake of agreeing, and I want to be challenged. And he does that, and I appreciate it. And I think I'm better off because of it.
What do you believe is still one of your biggest hurdles that you're looking to overcome within the conference?
It's a great question. I don't know if there's a big hurdle. I mean, obviously there's a revenue gap, and we all know that. And I'm working to close that gap. And I think we have some things we can do in the short term. And then everything that we're doing now sets us up for that big moment in January 30 when we go back into the market and do a new TV deal. And I'm very bullish about what that looks like. But in the interim, I want to grow revenue. I want to create value for our conference institutions, our member institutions, rather. You know, I want us to be as relevant as we can be. And I think today we're more relevant than we've ever been as a conference. I think there's more to come. I think football can fuel that relevance. I want to see us become a little bit more consistent. I thought last year we underperformed in football. I think we have a chance to be on a national level, more profound, if you will. I think I mentioned it yesterday, the depth of this conference is amazing from top to bottom. There's a lot of parity. But I think over time you want a couple of those schools to emerge as national contenders year in and year out,
sure,
where they can sustain a certain level of performance. And we're going to get there. I know we will. It just takes a little time. That's why I say in some respects we're a mature startup and we're just getting started. But I would say making sure that I'm doing everything I can so that our schools can compete at the highest levels is something I think about all the time. And I think about that both from a short-term lens and a long-term lens. I want us to continue to be bold and aggressive, but I think we need to be thoughtful at the same time. And I think we have been. And I follow the data. You know, everything that I have proposed or things that we're executing, there's a strategy behind it. And in many cases, there's data behind it that says, boy, that's the right direction to go in. Mm. Even when you think about expansion, we're not expanding for the sake of expanding. We expand if we think there's value creation. You know, when we look at the four corner schools, because I was here for that, you know, brands, markets, fan engagement, et cetera, drove our decision.
Sure.
So, you know, there's not a lot of things that keep me up at night, but I would say right now, driving value and creating opportunities for our member institutions, probably the biggest thing.
Well, and you shed some light on that, on making that revenue gap smaller. You've been in the forefront of maybe partnering with some major businesses and doing that to create some revenue. And then the basketball thing as well is fascinating to me. Like, does that become in its own right a way to, you know, become like, oh, if we can create our own package deal and get a lot more than the other conferences? Because straight up, the Big 12 basketball conference is the most powerful, intriguing, exciting basketball conference in America. So what are you doing in that space specifically to to get to that area where, like, you can package basketball as a, as its own, like, singular thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Because of my background, I guess I've been branded in a short period of time as a basketball guy. But I love football, and I understand the meaning behind football and where it resides at the conference. But I also believe that, you know, whatever business you're running, you got to be great at something. Can't be middle of the road. You know, you look at the NBA. You know, the last thing you want to be is in the middle of the road, okay, with no path to the top or the bottom, really. So for us, I think there's an opportunity for us to double down on football and continue to invest, and I'm very bullish on our future. We are the number one basketball conference in America and got stronger, and I think there's ways to monetize that, short term and long term. Short term, we're doing a PSL program around our men's basketball championship. It'll raise $30 million plus for us, okay? Untapped opportunity that we've never exploited before. Okay. Long term, we gave ourselves optionality in our new TV deal where we can bifurcate basketball from football if there's value to create as a standalone. Or we could do what's been traditionally done and bundle everything up. But at least we have the option now to do that. And we'll see what happens. But boy, I mean, you think about the brands in our conference now. I mean, we've always been great. Obviously, you guys are coming off a heck of a season. Unexpected, but a heck of a season. You're only building on that. You know, you bring in an Arizona. You bring in a Colorado. Utah became very competitive. Arizona State has had an incredible offseason when you think about recruitment in the portal. I mean, this thing just got much stronger. So it's exciting to see what the possibilities are. And, you know, for us, maintaining optionality is the thing that I'm focused on most.
We were able to speak with the executive director of the College Football Playoff, and this is the first year that the expansion has gone to 12 teams. What role can and do you hope the Big 12 can play in this expanded playoff?
Well, I think the expanded playoff makes this season that much more special and exciting. You know, in our conference specifically, every week will matter because of the depth and the parity.
The balance is wild.
It's unbelievable. It really is. But then you think about November. I mean, in November, there's no clear favorite to get to that first Saturday in December. And we're going to brand it a race to the championship. And all eyes are going to be on the Big 12. Because it certainly will be not, I think, until the last weekend of the season, until we know who's going to show up in Dallas at AT&T Stadium.
And with rivalries all through November,
no less. And rivalries, you know, throughout. So it's going to be very, very exciting. Obviously, we have the AQ. You know, the champion for the first time will go right into the CFP. But, you know, given the depth of this conference, you know, we want more than just one. We want to have more multiple schools representing us in the CFP. You know, that's what we're working towards. And hopefully that'll come to fruition in the first year of the 12-team format.
We'll finish up with this. As you look back on your entire tenure, and you put out the specific date earlier, but the entirety of your tenure up to this date, what has been the most eye-opening experience or maybe surprising thing that you've encountered as commissioner of the Big 12?
I don't think, candidly, I wasn't sure we'd get to this point so fast. You know, when I took the job, I got, you know, a lot of questions initially, two media days ago. What are you doing with Oklahoma and Texas? You know, are they going to stay for the next couple of years? You're going to get them out early. What are you going to do with the new TV bill? New TV deal? What are you going to do with realignment? I mean, there was a lot of things that people were thinking about. And, you know, most commissioners probably would have been a little bit more pragmatic and taken one at a time. And I kind of looked at those three in particular, all being interconnected. They kind of played off one another. And then all the other things on top of that we've been able to accomplish. So, you know, for me, I guess, you know, I'm a little surprised it's come as fast as it's come. You know, it's not even 2 years, and we have transformed this conference in how we look, in how we're perceived, in what our narrative is, and what our future looks like. So, and I don't take that for granted. I mean, listen, a lot of hard work has gone into it by a lot of people. Presidents, ADs, the staff at the conference, but it's probably happened a little faster than I thought. And as I often tell people, I'm happy but never satisfied. I want more. You know, I'm competitive. You know, I want to win, and that's the goal.
It's like that old Dr. Yeah. Pepper commercial. I want it all.
Yes. Well, look, I know you love your job. You're all in, but you are going to be able to unplug and get away and take a little bit of a break, aren't you? doing something, or is that you're looking at me like, why would I do that?
No, I don't unplug a lot just because I love what I do, but I am going to go to Paris.
Awesome. Olympics.
For a couple of days for the Olympics. And then on the heels of that, my wife and I are going to, you know, kind of find a place to relax and hang for a couple of days. But I'm at my best when I'm doing what I love, and being the commissioner of the Big 12 is what I love.
Awesome.
So to me, I don't look at it as like as work,
yeah.
You know, and thankfully my kids are a little older now, so I can really dive into things and not feel guilty about it. So I'm not going to unwind for too long, but just enough to get a quick recharge.
Yep.
And be ready for the month of August and, you know, for football season, because, boy, it's going to be exciting.
Yes,
it is.
Indeed. Here we go. My wife told me, Jason, this is, and we've talked about your suit guy and, like, because Brett looks great, but she's like, you need to have as much energy as him.
Okay? No, you have as much energy as I have.
But she's like, you need to maintain that. So you need to talk to him about his health regime and his nutrition.
I don't even know what it is. You know, it's interesting. I get it. You know, I don't get a lot of sleep. But I eat well. I work out every day. Maybe it's the genes, but I feel really healthy and I feel really energized. And I, you know, I'm one that looks forward to waking up in the morning and going after it. I mean, listen, some days are more challenging than others, but
sure.
For the most part, you know, we're living in a world right now that, you know, changes often. And I embrace change because I think it's exciting and different and new. So I'm embracing all of it. And in some respects, it inspires me. So it's all good.
Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you. Thank you both, guys. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate everything.
And good luck. Good luck this year, okay?
That was the commissioner of the Big 12 Conference, Brett Yormark. Always fantastic to be able to talk with Commissioner Yormark. I think it's safe to say, Dave, that you know how some people are like, well, our guy's tougher. Or, you know, we have the fittest of all the commissioners. No question.
He's a visionary salesman.
Yes. Yes. Anything stand out to you? Any takeaways from that interview?
You know, he lights up when basketball's kicked around, and we were talking about it too while we were watching it. Is the Big 12 on the cusp of becoming a basketball first league, where it's always been football first? But with the addition of Arizona, and you got Kansas and Houston, and I mean, half the league can be in the top 15. You throw BYU in there too now with what Kevin Young's done with his recruiting staff and what they did last year. And so then you see the twinkle in his eye, because I think he's thinking there's other TV deals ahead for this basketball league. And so we're at the cusp of football season, but he had a lot to say, as we heard there, about where basketball can go, and for half the league that's going to have a disappointing football season, how fast do they shift to, well, on November 4th and November 5th, it's basketball
time. When is it basketball season?
And it gets earlier and earlier every year, but man, half the league games haven't even happened yet.
Yeah.
It feels like, and that'll be an interesting thing around here with the hype with Kevin Young and the basketball program and football and second year in the Big 12 and where the, can we just handle two giant plates, or do you just gravitate toward, I'm going to this full plate now. I dabbled over here, but now here comes this plate. I'm just going to move my attention over there. It's great for us. Yep. Great for business. And it's great for the Big 12. But he has a twinkle in his eye when all of a sudden he's starting to buy.
Yeah, he loves basketball. I think just very quickly before we break, the thing that really stood out to me, and we were obviously talking a lot about expansion today on the show, and you know, he's like, we're not going to expand just to expand. There has to be a value added in order for us to expand. And so with that in mind, I guess we'll just see how everything plays out as we continue down this road of possible expansion in college athletics.
You don't add a pool to the backyard unless you got people just wanting to swim all
that's
the
right.
time.
That's right.
If you just find a friend that's got a pool.
Do you have
backyard.
A pool?
No.
Because my family's looking for a place to
swim.
Well,
we got one in the neighborhood, okay. So that helps. All you right. guys come over anytime.
Okay.
Hey, check out the latest Deep Blue podcast. Mike Smith, man, did he score a lot of baskets at BYU. Not just a basketball player, he was also a good football player back in the day. A broadcast here in the state of Utah, the Deep Blue podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
It was a joy to talk with Mike. I hope people are enjoying that one. Our first look at what BYU football's team rating might be in the new college football video game. We'll tell you if they got it right. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. Jason Shepard, Dave McCann. Let's get to today's headlines.
So last week at the Big 12 meetings, in Las Vegas. In an interview with John Kurtz, Yahoo Sports' Ross Dellinger said that there's interest between the Big 12 and Clemson and Florida State, and that's one of the possibilities of the two joining the conference. Not an official report, speculative at best, but Commissioner Brett Yormark and the Big 12 remain open for business, as he said.
They'll always listen, right? As long as it's value added. BYU basketball announced the addition of Snow College transfer Max Triplett. Triplett comes to BYU after playing two seasons at Snow. Last year, he earned all Scenic West second team accolades after averaging 14 points and 7 rebounds. The 6'9 junior forward is from Huntsville, Utah, and is a return missionary.
BYU women's basketball announcing they're going to play in the Cancun Challenge. That's great news for Shep. Part of the non-conference slate over Thanksgiving. A couple of games over 3 days in November. Iowa, Rhode Island, Rice, Idaho State, Vermont, the possible opponents. And this morning, Amber Whiting announcing the hiring of Kehlani Unga as the director of basketball ops. She's married to BYU running backs coach Harvey Unga. They met while playing at BYU. Unga comes to the Cougars after spending 4 seasons as an assistant at UVU.
Congrats to BYU men's golfer Cole Ponich, who won the Utah State Amateur Championship yesterday, edging teammate Cooper Jones. With the win, Ponich earned an exemption to this year's U.S. Amateur Championship.
That's awesome. Congrats to Jimmer Fredette and his 3x3 team, now ranked number one in the world as they head into the Olympics later this month. Also played at the USA Basketball Showcase in Vegas over the weekend. This is a squad that's ready to make a run for a gold medal.
And Dave's wearing his BYU baseball shirt today. So how about former Cougar Daniel Schneeman hitting his 4th home run of the season and had a 2-hit game for the Cleveland Guardians over the weekend. Entering the All-Star break, Schneeman is hitting .236 with 4 home runs, 5 doubles, 2 triples, and has 14 runs batted in.
We need him to get better and then come to the Cubs because we need some players.
Or the Cardinals. Those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it.
So a screenshot posted on X of BYU football's overall team rating on the new college football 25 video game that is going to be released this week. The Cougars rating is 80. Is that too high, too low, or is it just right?
I don't get into these too much. It's probably about right. I guess if I'm being honest, I expect it to be a little higher than that. But I mean, I don't think it's anything that I'm going to go, you know, social media outrage over.
Listen, you play the game, you're behind, you hit reset.
You just hit a Hail Mary, you throw a Hail Mary every time. There we go.
Start it over.
All right, after the break, BYU defensive end Tyler Batty discusses how outsiders' doubt motivates BYU and why he's glad to have the rivalry back. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Number 92 and Tyler Batty, big man, feeling healthy, ready to go.
A man of many talents.
Really big hit by Tyler Batty.
Always being underdogs. That's BYU. Most of the time, predicted as underdogs, and we like it that way.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We're live with you here in Studio B. Tyler Batty was the lone BYU football player on the preseason All-Big 12 team. Spencer and Austin Colley had a chance to visit with him at Big 12 Media Days last week as they discussed what's motivating him personally and the team entering year 2 in the Big 12.
It's about time we had the preseason All-Big 12 defensive lineman with us on BYUS, and Tyler Batty is with us from Las Vegas. Tyler, welcome to Media Days yet again.
Thanks, guys.
Does the preseason kind of clout change the mindset a little bit? Does it give you a little bit more confidence going into it?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, I just want to play some football, man.
I feel that. I respect it. A number of people have mentioned specifically, Tyler, that you look very different physically, even from last year to this year. So let's cast a spotlight on that. What's gone into your preparation in getting you to a point where you feel stronger and faster and healthier than you have in a while?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, there's been a multitude of things. I think, you know, one, our new strength staff, having a full off season with them, with Coach Phyllis and his staff, I mean, they're top tier. I think across the board as a team, we've gotten bigger, faster, stronger. You know, they've been super detailed there in their approach. And so, you know, having them and then just kind of from the lessons we learned from last season of like, you know, hey, yeah, it's going to, you just got to be ready to, you know, play 12 weeks of football, you know, day in, day out, just competing. And so that was definitely my approach in the off season, was just trying to, the same thing, get bigger, faster, stronger, you know, get things down technically, you know, position wise. So it's been a really good off season for us.
As a D end, I've always felt like you needed to have a little crazy in you. Okay, you need to have like a little screw loose. Every DN that I know has a little bit of a screw loose. I'm assuming you've watched a lot of pro ball. Is there anybody you kind of look to or look to emulate your game after or your attitude as a defensive end?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I look like Myles Garrett, right? Like Myles Garrett is
definitely
like,
has a screw loose.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but like he's like the epitome of a DN, you know, and like my, he's like a JJ Watt type. You know, I grew up watching like JJ Watt. Like that was my guy growing up that I watched. And you know, you look at someone like Myles Garrett and he's like, yeah, like I would love to play like that. Do I have all like the freakishness of Myles Garrett? No. Like, will I ever? Probably not. But like if I can, you know, try to emulate some of that, you know, I'll definitely try to, you know, if I can be as big as him and maybe as strong as him, you know, that's part of it. If I can be as like relentless as Max Crosby, you know what I mean? I love the way like Max Crosby plays the game, you know, sitting on their home field. No, seriously. But like, I love Max Crosby. I freaking love the way he plays the game. And like, I do try to emulate like a big part of how I play. It's already natural. Like that. I just love playing, you know, no holds barred, just like going, right? Just, you know, no breaks, just going. And then, you know, I look at someone else like Nick Bosa, who's like really detailed in his approach, very methodical, and as a technician. You know, if I can kind of combine like those three dudes into one, like that is who I'm trying to be as a defensive end.
Tyler Batty is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's go back to just the defensive line specifically, because, I mean, Jay Hill has been very open about the need to create more chaos, more disruption, yeah, to get after the quarterback. And it's not just as simple as like, well, you need more sacks. Like, it's not about that. It's more disruption and chaos plays. So why do you feel like BYU, or how do you feel like BYU specifically, has taken a step in the right direction as a position group to do that in an even stronger conference?
Yeah, absolutely. I think across the board, I mean, I think you look at our defensive line, and we will start, like, our starting lineup of defensive linemen will be all seniors. You know what I mean? You know, you look at me and Isaiah Banya, Logan Latui, right? Those are your three defensive ends. You look interior at John Nelson and Blake Mangelson. John and Blake have both played interior and outside. I've both played interior and outside. And so you just look at the kind of the breadth of experience there. And then two, this off season that we've had has been awesome for development, right? The coaching that we've had, you know, from Coach Puha right on the interior, from Coach Papinga on the outside, from Coach Anderson, and he's been kind of hanging around and consulting has been awesome. I've learned a ton from him. And then like we talked about before, just getting bigger, faster, stronger, another year in the scheme, and just ability to execute at a high level. All those I think are going to come together really nicely to allow us to kind of create constant havoc, hopefully. Like that's you know what we want.
Havoc, disruption, chaos, all of those words are acceptable.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't want peace. I want problems always. You know what I mean?
You gotta have it as a defense, right? Especially with the guys in the box, man, right? And especially against the athletes that you're gonna be going up against, right? I mean, spoke with Jalen Daniels, some of the other elite quarterbacks that are in this league that are you know, obviously able to make plays with their arm, but can make plays on the ground with their feet as well. Is there anybody in the conference that you're kind of like licking your chops to go after? I know, you know, JJ Watt loved going up against Peyton every single game, right? Every two times a year.
Yeah.
Anybody that falls in that category in the Big 12?
You know, there's a lot of guys, right? So, you know, you look at a guy like JD, right, out there at Kansas. And, yeah, when he played us last year, like, he was super, super elusive. Like, he scrambling out of the pocket. He was a really hard guy to contain. Then you look at UCF's
KJ Jefferson.
New quarterback, right? KJ yeah. Jefferson. This is the third time we have played KJ, right? We played him twice at Arkansas, once at home, once there. So with KJ, we're 1-1, and KJ's a good quarterback. You know what I mean? He really is. He's a big boy. He's hard to bring down. You know, in our first matchup with them, you know, that was something we struggled with, was getting him down to the ground. And so I think we have guys like them, whether they're big and strong and solid or whether they're just super elusive and hard to get a hold of. I think honestly, the quarterback play in the Big 12 is really broad in how people are going to play it. You know, we'll have our pocket passers, we'll have our dual threats, but overall, it's going to be a fun challenge to get after them.
What about those quarterbacks that may have specifically said they're going to whoop our butts, or may have called out BYU? I don't know, within the last 24 hours.
I'm not ringing any bells.
No,
no, I don't.
Maybe that one.
Yeah. You know, we're excited, man. We're stoked to have the rivalry game back. Like, we are stoked to have the rivalry game back. Super excited, you know, to be able to play Utah again. I was born in Utah, raised in Utah.
So you get the rivalry.
Yeah, got recruited by both BYU and Utah. You know what I mean? Get the rivalry. Love the rivalry. I wish this was a game that happened every year, and now that we're in the Big 12, it will. And so,
yep.
I'm super stoked for that rivalry game, and you know, we'll just see. That's the great thing about football, is you go out and you play and you just see what happens.
What fuels you the most, Tyler? Is it last year's? I'm going to give you some options. Is it last year's 5-game losing streak to end the season? You can finish 5-7. You know, go to a bowl game, so you're going to sit on that. Is it locker room material that is offered from certain teams, or maybe even the media when BYU is picked to finish 13th? Like, what? How would you rank which of those things motivate you the most, or maybe it's something entirely different?
There's a lot of different motivations for me. At the end of the day, it's just, I love playing football, right? And I just love playing football. I love being out on the field. Like, there's no better feeling. Like, there's no better feeling than being out on the field. And so for me, that's number one. Number two, is kind of the disgust that we were left with after last season. Like, you get done and you don't have another opportunity, at least immediately, to change things, right? It's just like, you went 5-7 and you have to sit all off season on that. And that is what you think about. And you think about the missed sacks and the missed tackles and the missed picks, the missed assignments, and, you know, the little details of each and every game that could have changed the outcome of that game. And you think about it all off season because you don't have an opportunity to rectify it until the following fall. And so that is a big motivation because, you know, collectively as a team, We let ourselves down. I think we let our fans down. And I think we underperformed in a big way. And so we are really stoked just to be able to, again, show what BYU football is all about. You know what I mean? And show that we're, you know, that we love ball, which we do. We have a locker room full of guys that just love playing football, and they're motivated by that and taking care of each other. And they want to win, right? And so we're really excited for the season.
One of the things that we talked about with Kalani when he was here on set was just about the overall attitude of the team, the difference from last year to this year, the sense of accountability. Do you notice that difference from last year to this year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would even say we've taken huge strides in that in the past 3 months. You know, I think back to where we were at in spring ball, you know, and where we were at spring ball versus the season, right? Yeah. I think there have been just really big steps in a lot of different areas, accountability being one of them, and just guys wanting to do things the right way and do it for the right reasons, and just kind of finding that identity, and guys kind of bonding and just like wanting to do it right, like really being invested heavily in each other and in the team, the program, and wanting to win, right? And so this offseason has been awesome for us.
Tyler Batty is on BYU Sports Nation. I have to ask you, because you are a preseason All Big 12 conference guy, with the EA Sports College Football 25 set up behind us, what are you hoping your rating is?
So we saw our ratings.
Oh, you saw it.
Yeah. Do we agree with the rating?
Yes. Yeah. It was 84.
Okay. 84 has great significance for BYU football national championship.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
84 is pretty good.
Yeah. Not bad. It's not bad. not bad.
We could do better.
We could do better. But it's, my speed was a 76. So clearly, like, I need to get with Austin here. We need to get after him, bro. Because my speed was kind of abysmal. So
you don't want to get with me. I think I was like 74, bro.
Yeah, so that's I've got to get the speed thing going. Okay. Got to get that up. Awareness, you know, was the highest. Had a 90 overall in awareness. So that wasn't bad.
High IQ, yeah. Kind of goes along similar lines. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll take that. But that 84, you know, hopefully we can bump it.
Okay.
You know, hopefully they release some live updates and we can kind of bump that up throughout the season.
I think that needs to happen.
Yeah.
I love it.
That needs to happen. Oh, Tyler, great stuff.
You're 99 in our book, Tyler.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
We appreciate it, brother. Thanks.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
All right, our question of the day, if the Big 12 is able to add Clemson and Florida State, how would that be beneficial for BYU? Our lead voice of the day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Matthew Jack Moon on Instagram. It would firmly solidify the Big 12 as the in-club, and BYU would be set. Today's Rise and Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Cole Ponich, Utah State Amateur Champion, men's golf. Nice job.
All right, thanks to our guests today, Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark and Tyler Batty. Back with you tomorrow for Dave on Jason. Go Cougs!